Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, heats out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
90% bullshit. What is entertainment? Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What?
Not tomorrow, not after breakfast, now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Huxui, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up.
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue. And
issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and Alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is real. The power is real. Weaken. The fear is real. Because they have returned.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Conti and Kenny Show, May 5th, 2014. I am not doing that thing that thing with Star Wars they did all day yesterday. That was really annoying and stupid. And then this Cinco de Mayo.
What thing with Star Wars?
It was...
How could you call anything with Star Wars stupid?
Well, when I tell you what it is, you'll know. You know, it was... Ready for this, Kenny? You know what they say, may the force be with you?
Yeah.
It was may the fourth be with you.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, real clever. Shut up. It wasn't clever. It was annoying.
It's clever and witty and whimsical.
It's not. It's not clever, whimsy, or clever, or whimsical, or anything. I was really, really annoyed with it. Really, you're laughing at that? I hate you.
I'm agreeing with you. It's bad. I was just joking around. Yeah, it is bad. May the fourth be with you.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. Ow. And it was everywhere.
Really, I didn't see any of it.
What'd you do? Click on the new thing?
Oh. Yeah. So, welcome to the show, everybody. We're probably going to do...
May the third be a turd.
May the third be a turd. May the fifth have some width.
May the fifth be a Sith. It's a Sith Lord.
Wow. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Frank's fixing something over my shoulder. He didn't even skip a beat, and I had to still ask him if he heard that, and he just said, "Yeah, I heard it." welcome to the show, everybody. It's the Conti and Kenny Show, Arrogance and Alcoholism. If you want to join us in the chat, go to morelikeradio.com/live. And follow us on, be our friend on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. It's CNK Show on Twitter. The phone, I'll give the phone number in a second. We're just trying to hook the phone up. But the phone is 240-HIGH-CNK. That's 240-442-2635. You're
also 240-4th be with you. The,
shut up.
Sorry.
At least you're, you know, getting out a couple of gags, you know. It's been a very trying 3 weeks for me and you, along with, you know, hundreds of other people. But for our listeners, it's been a trying few weeks for me and my pal Kenny here, which I think I have the camera up on it for the Kenny face because you're on Skype tonight. Tonight we might just do a little shortened show. We'll see. But we got Pete Bond, our actor, wrestler, filmmaker friend coming in for a little bit after 8. And I'm not sure if Champagne Mike is coming in, but if he is, he's got a seat ready for him. And excuse me.
And Pete Bond, one of the nicest male asses of all time.
Yes, we've seen his ass. I'll tell you, I've seen his ass on the telly more times than I would like to say I have, but I have.
Yes. Looks like San Andreas Fault in khakis.
Yeah, Pete's a big boy, and he's also been on some in some movies and TV shows, and for some reason, his ass always seems to get shown. I don't understand why. Maybe we'll find out when he gets here. It's been a very tough couple of weeks, and like last week, we were, you know, we were coming out of trying to get back to doing our normal, you know, garbage-filled shows. And then tonight, you know, we were like, all right, you know what, we're just going to, you know, we got to, you know, we have to slowly start to move on with our lives. And, you know, but yesterday was a tough day because yesterday was our pal's memorial, a nice way to honor a legend and a great friend by having this very nice memorial down
It was tough, good, strange, yeah, surreal,
everything
together.
It was all of it, you know. You know what, I will say something, Kenny, and I thought of this today, or it might have been last night. I think it was on the ride home I had my epiphany, okay, on why this has been so unbelievably hard for so many people, okay? And if anybody doesn't know, it's Otto. Of course you guys know. And so we were talking about it on the way home, and, like, even our you know what, I won't even say his name, but my one friend, one of my best friends, lost his mom last year. And he told me that it's been harder for him than losing his mom. Now, mind you, he's not a sociopath with no emotions. His mom was 85.
No, he's an orphan and she never loved him. That's why. He doesn't deserve to be loved.
But what
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay. But but anyway, the point was that, you know, she was sick for a bunch of years. And as terrible as it was, you know what I mean? He saw it coming. So it was, you know, it still hurts. But this, you know, because he was so young and all that. But here it is, Kenny, and this is my true belief. And I had this epiphany, and I don't think it's anything that's nobody's ever thought of, but here it is. I think that the reason why this is so difficult for so many people is that he was the most unique person we've all ever met. Dude, I can honestly say there is nobody I've ever met in my life that even resembles him. He was so unique, so different, so one of a kind, a true original, and not like who tried to be original. He never tried to do anything. He just was what he was. And I think that's what it is because, you know what, and this is no offense to any of my friends who listen, but all of my friends, people I know, I can look at them and go, you know what? There's a little of you that remind me of my other pal or remind me of this person.
Right,
you know, little
right,
things.
Right.
I mean, we're all unique, and I understand that. You know, we're like snowflakes, right, Kenny? Pussies are like snowflakes. But, dude, he was so beyond anybody and so unique and so different. And when you got a taste of being in his life as a friend and or as a performer. I mean, I know a lot of comics who were very affected by this, and they weren't really friends with him. You know, but they worked with him a bunch of times and saw him a bunch of times. So it like really, you know, it affected them. And I think that's it, man. He was so unique. There was something about him that just he oozed originality, and everything about him was just different.
You're absolutely right. You can never say, you know, he reminds me of Otto.
No.
Or Otto reminds me of
no, nobody. Nothing.
Yeah.
The only time anybody reminded you of Otto was when they stole his material. Sorry. Oh,
great.
Sorry.
Great story was.
Yeah, right. Let's not get stupid now. All right.
Yeah, I know.
We don't need to burn any bridges that we're never going to cross. All right?
Exactly. Yeah, but he's got some funny commercials out there now.
Oh yeah, yeah, he does. He's got the those new commercials. But
the tacos aren't going to eat themselves over there. You can't mix words. Was that somebody calling?
No, that was just Frank testing the.
Oh, okay. A great story out of last. I mean, there was a bunch, and we'll get into a few. But our friend Jeff Norris, who's going to be on the show soon, a good pal of mine and yours, of course. He was on a ship. He was Otto died Monday. He had to be on a cruise liner doing stand up on the Tuesday. And he's on the ship or whatever, and the other comedians that were performing with him were all from like Liverpool and other parts of Great Britain.
Yep.
And they're sitting down having lunch, and they're like, "Hey, you know, blah blah blah." And he's like, "Oh, I lost a friend of mine. He was a comic. You know, my friend Otto." And the guys from Liverpool and Britain just like drop their forks, look at him, and go, "You know Otto? You know Otto?" You know, it was these guys that were, you know, on the other side, you know, on the other side of the world practically. Well, on the other side of the pond, as they say. But English comedians, you know, British comedians were like, "Holy shit, you knew Otto?"
Yeah, and I think he said that. The one guy was like, "He's the one that says, you have a stinky pussy."
yeah, in a British accent.
Yeah, with a British accent, which I'm not doing, of course, because I can't do voices.
Hello, you have a stinky pussy.
You have a stinky pussy. And he said it, and I asked him, I go, you know, was it because they were shocked that you knew him and that they didn't realize he had died? And he said it was a little of both. Like, they didn't realize he had died. And he said, like, you know like, Otto, the Otto sound, you know, like, tapes and stuff went around, like, Britain, you know, with all of his famous stuff that he did. The famous, you know, and I bet you a lot of it stems from YouTube, you know, like Otto's all over YouTube and, it's just a great universal way. And I think the YouTube, you know, we definitely have to eventually make a YouTube page just for all of everything that Otto does. So it could just go to the Otto's YouTube channel, like everything. It would be hundreds of videos, but they were just like, and they were like, "You don't know, like, you know, English, you know, we've been quoting Otto and George for years, you know." And they were like, "Oh, the man who says a black pussy looks like a wallet." And they just knew all of the stuff. And that was a very cool story. You know, he had to throw in a little too much about how many people he was performing in front of and blah, blah, blah. But whatever. We were all a little emotional that night, but whatever. There was a lot of... It was really great to see some of these guys come up.
Real quick, before we get into that, Otto has, for anyone who doesn't know, Otto has a movie that's called American Dummy. Jim Brewer financed it. He's in it. Norton, Lewis Black, a bunch of different guys.
Yeah, Jim Norton. Yeah, a bunch of guys.
And what it is at the end, George, the dummy, the puppet, winds up fucking Nina Hartley, the porn star.
The porn star, right.
On a bar. So they're playing DVDs. We're playing American Dummy on the big screen. You know, it's a 25-foot wide screen in this, you know, in this rock venue place called Starland. And it gets to the part just as Otto's mom and sister and brother sit down in the front table, the puppet's banging Nina Hartley from behind. And you see Chris Johnson run from the bathroom and change the DVD. It's just this puppet banging a porn star.
A porn star, yeah.
And his mom's right there sitting down, front row.
Yeah, it was. I would say it had to be close to 100 people. You know, there were some people that kind of showed up that weren't on the, if you want to call it, the guest list. But it wasn't like anybody that, you know, freaked anybody out, you know, like where, you know, Trish didn't want somebody there and then they walked in and caused an issue. It was just a few people that maybe, you know, listen, he knew so many people that, you know, there were some probably some people that she just forgot, you know, which is... You know, completely understandable.
Guys that he may have known a long time ago.
Yeah,
and
she just didn't know. I mean, it as hard as it's been for us and his friends, imagine her and her family and his family. It's been just a disaster, you know? So you have to give them a break when, you know, she may have overlooked somebody he hasn't seen in 20 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So some guy he used to, you know, some old comic that he used to talk to. And to be honest... There was a lot of schmoozing there. There was a lot of guys that, you know, a lot of the older Road Dog guys and stuff. And, you know, there were people that booked shows and managers and whatnot. And a lot of people, it became a social event, which was cool in a way. But there was also some people that probably took it to their advantage.
Yeah, I a few people said it. It looks like, you know, I could say it was very few. At least when it came to going up and saying a few things, there were very few people that I thought it was like, all right, you know, knock it off. What are you doing? For 98% of the time, it was great. It was great stories, heartfelt, you know, really a great send off for people.
A lot of people that I haven't seen, and I'm sure you too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys that I haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking years, you know, not just stand up, but even before, way in my early days of stand up, you know, guys that used to do shows with, or, you know, maybe going back almost 10 years, I haven't seen the guys. And they were all there, you know, and it was really cool to see the guys. One thing, it was a good idea, but they had a 2-drink maximum at the venue. It was a good idea because...
Yes, there was a riot that broke out that was led by Kenny Michaels and Johnny O.
What's going on here?
It was weird. You got to walk in, there was, you know, you got to hang out. And there was a little bit of, they had like a little buffet for people that want to get a little snack. And there was, you got these 2-drink tickets and you can get 2 free drinks. But that was it. Here's your 2 first free drinks and then a cash bar. It was, here's 2 drinks. That's all you're getting.
Yeah, there began an underground subculture of trying to figure out who doesn't drink anymore. Like, who's in recovery? Give me your drink tickets.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your Sprite. Give me that.
Yeah, there was
a few doers on the rocks.
Because let's say that group of people, there were probably a bunch of them that would have loved to have partaken.
Comics in recovery? There was a ton out there.
Not even in recovery. I'm talking about just guys who still love to drink. That were a little bit like, what in the fuck? What's going on here?
Yeah, and now Otto, I mean, it was a good idea. It was well planned because I could, you know, something like that, it could get out of hand. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys out there that overdo it, myself included. You know what I mean? It wouldn't get out of hand, but they just didn't want, they wanted it to be real nice, real quick, sweet. And it wasn't a party in the sense of let's go get hammered and remember him and cry old Irish or Danish junkie songs. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't like that kind of a party. It was, let's say something, his parent, mother's there, his family's there, and then we'll go. But I guarantee you, Otto was floating around that thing like fucking Casper the Ghost, going, two drink minimum, two drink maximum. You know, like he would have flipped out. Yeah, fucking squares.
Yeah.
It's a party. Drink.
Yeah.
You know, he would have shit in his shoes.
Yeah.
If he found out that there was a maximum, but it was a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't need anybody getting hammered, especially, you know, if you're going to go up and say a few things, because then you don't want to go up there and then, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, not to say, I mean, there were some young kids there, you know, his nieces and nephews. And so you didn't, and don't get me wrong, a couple of guys said a few things, you know, like you know, in the conversation, the F word came out or whatever, and that's fine.
Or Otto doing drugs story.
Thank God that we didn't have anybody talking about Otto doing drugs or a guy who went up there and started doing Otto's jokes or just, you know, spitting out the word pussy and cunt 8 or 10 times. Oh, no, that's right. That did happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. fucking idiots. What fucking morons.
Yeah.
The one guy, and he didn't get into detail, but, you know, he had to mention that they were, all right, he mentioned they were smoking pot. I don't think, you know, Otto smoking pot would have, bothered his mom, all right? Let's be honest with what Otto had done to himself over the years, you know, the beating he gave on his body. But you're, like, telling stories, and you're like, yeah, you know, well, we were partying, and we were really partying, you know what I mean? Like, partying, like, you know, the way people party, like, a lot, and we were partying. It was like, all right, we get it. And then you mention acid. You know, and that was one asswipe. And then another guy.
But the funny part about that story, the only good thing about that entire story was they were, you know, he says, yeah, we were on acid and we're sitting at the park bench right by the river. And I ask him, I go, Otto, what would you do if I poured 6 ounces of, what would happen if I poured 6 ounces of liquid acid into this river? He goes, I'm not sure, but the fish would be cutting an album.
Yeah, which is such a great line.
Great line.
Know?
Funny.
Like, you know, you're going to, but whatever. There was just one instance of that, and then one instance of one guy who, and look, I understand if you're going to mention something that Otto said or a funny joke that, you know, that just, you know, really was with you. It's something that just always stayed with you or a moment. But I mean, this one guy, you know, he's doing his stuff, and he told actually a very good story about Otto when he was a kid. And then he's up there, and he must have said, you know, oh, sticky pussy, a pussy, a cunt, and a pussy, and said it like fucking 8 or 10 times. And like, what are you doing? We all know the fucking jokes. We all know the lines. It wasn't like you were being...
Stop doing an impression of him. We got it.
Who, me?
No.
Oh, okay. My fault.
Damn, yeah.
It was like... you got me scared a little bit. I got all nervous. I was like,
Like, they're up
I'm
there.
I'm a complete ass.
They're saying lines over and over again in his voice, and you're like, enough, we got it.
Right, and I understand if, you know, you're using it because you're telling a story, and it's an intricate part of the story, but this was, like, after the fact, and then it just got, like, all, and it was just like, and then actually Teddy Daniels, in his usual very polite way, going on Facebook, and smashing the guy.
Yeah. Saying now the question about that, and well done, Teddy.
Yeah.
Bravo. You know, yeah, applause all around for him.
Yeah, he went on Facebook and said, you know,
Did he know him beforehand?
He never met him.
That's even better.
Yeah, no. I know him. I met him. He booked me once. And you know what's funny, Kenny? He booked me once, and I did a show in front of like 8 people, right? And I was the middle, and it was like packs of like, it was just literally like couple here, a couple there, a couple here. There were like 4 couples in the whole room. And I did like a half hour, and it was, you know, it was dead. And I did okay. And he actually said that I said the F word too much. Really, asswipe?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I said the F word too much. But you said cunt 11 times in front of 9-year-olds. Way to go.
And, yeah, in front of his mother.
In front of his mother.
You fucking no-cooth fucking apple bottom bullshit. Pull your pants up, man. You know, pull your pants down, you cunt.
It was just, and Teddy went on there and
called him out, and then it became this whole big thread on Facebook.
Well done, Teddy.
Yeah.
Well done, Teddy. And now, for everybody out there listening, if you weren't, it wasn't a big deal. It's just something. It's between that we were talking about where it was like a little excessive. Where he could
I'm
have,
sure
you know,
everybody in the room thought the same thing, but because of who we all are and you know who Otto is, it just went under.
Well,
the,
it was it like, hey, my friend's mother's here. We got it. Stop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was water under the bridge. But still, Teddy had to put his two cents in, which is really funny that he had to be a dick, like the dick that he is.
Good for him,
man. You know, and it was, go ahead.
He ruined one of my lines. Now, we were obliged to help set up the place. It's a rock venue, so there's no tables or anything, just a bunch of bars. But they can set the room up. So we have tables. They got the big round tables.
So we would woof the tables in from a half a mile away.
From a half a mile, yeah. From Connecticut.
Yeah, in some sort of fucking storage container that you find dead bodies in near the fucking, near the seaport.
Yeah, so Teddy fucked up my line because we're walking back and forth. And I had this big giant round table and I'm just rolling it. You know, at first I said I looked like an Oompa Loompa. And then my joke was, here's my impression of Hervey Villechaize getting a cookie off the counter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it was awesome.
It was a fucking great line. And then Teddy's like, yeah, he made an impression. Here's an impression of Hervey Villechaize eating a cookie or eating a chocolate chip cookie. And I'm like, no, that wasn't it.
Kenny?
Yeah, that was you?
That was me who fucked your joke.
Was it you? Was it either you?
I swear to God, that was me.
Oh, was it?
Okay. I was giving you props at the end of the night when you said it. And what you said was, this is my impression of Hervé Villechaize reaching for a chocolate chip cookie, right?
No, it was getting a chocolate chip cookie off the counter.
Off the counter, which is a great line. I mean, this thing was huge. It was probably a foot taller than me. And I ruined it by going, yeah, Kenny's like, hey, this is my impression of Hervé Villechaize eating a chocolate chip cookie. Yeah, way to go, asshole. I ruined your fucking joke. And now James will still never book you.
Yeah, I know. Never. He hates me.
I'm just kidding. He doesn't hate you.
He hates me.
He doesn't hate you. But it was, and I thought everything, Chris Johnston did a great job.
Absolutely.
Of being the MC. You know, running the memorial. You know, he went up there, and Chris was perfect because it was his place. He was dressed in a fucking suit.
He looked great. Yeah,
yeah, he was sharp, and he did a great job. He kept it going, and it went.
Was totally no one knew who was gonna. There was no one planned to be the MC or anyone doing anything, and he just stepped up, and he really, really did awesome. Really, really commendable.
Yeah, he kept it. Yeah. He kept it going, and he kept it together the whole time. And he had Trish go up and say a few words. And he's like, dude, he goes, if nobody comes up when Trish is up there, come to the side. Because I knew I was going to say something. I had a little prepared. And he goes, if you don't see anybody, then just come over to the side. And then I'll, you know, have you go and do it after Trish. And it was, it was a little nerve-wracking for me, you know, because I didn't. You know, I wanted to, you know, get the stories out right. And I wasn't reading the stories. I just had like three or four bullet points of what stories I wanted to tell. And then I had something that was written. And I was worried the whole time that, I was worried I wasn't going to belch when I was up there. I was worried the whole time as I'm telling the stories and then as I was reading it that I was going to come off like such a douche. And I was so worried that I was just fucking speeding through it. And I had heard from a lot of people that said, it was really good.
It was really good.
Really good.
It was really good.
I was worried. I'm like, oh, I'm going to come off like such a douche.
Not at all. I was standing in the back, and there's a bunch of tables and then a section. And I was all the way in the back by myself. I wasn't sitting at the tables. It's just something. It's the way I deal with things.
Right.
You know, it's a personal thing where I didn't want to sit at a table. I wanted to be in my own little hole.
Have your own
and
little
let me
space.
Just watch. Let me just watch and experience it. That's why I didn't. That's why I didn't go up and say anything. You know, last night after I got home, and I'm sitting here, you know, watching TV, getting ready to go to bed, and I'm thinking in my head of what I could have said. You know?
I'm thinking in my head of things that I could have said too that I didn't. You know, that are stories I was telling afterwards.
It got me to the point where I called my mother, and I'm blubbering on the phone with my mother, and you know, it was all this stuff. But anyway, what I did was I was just standing in the back, and you did awesome because you really evoked some emotion from everybody. You know,
I wasn't doing it just to say, "Hey, I'm going to make everybody cry," you know. But I wanted to.
No, it was heartfelt. Sure,
I wanted to let you know. I wanted them to know I'm not just some douche who drove them around a couple times, and now I'm missing them because I'm not going to get gigs. You know, which I'm sure, you know, I don't know about anybody there, but I'm sure there's a few people that are like, "Oh, I'm never going to be able to work." Not because you don't get to see Otto perform again, but I'm, you know, that was gigs I could have had, you know.
Yeah, no. Last night afterwards, like I said, I was thinking about stuff, and it would have nothing to do with any. I wouldn't have said anything about. Maybe it would be a quick story, you know.
Yeah.
Where he calls you up and he's like, "What are you doing? I'm working. I'll call out. You don't look good." And we're on the phone.
Yeah, of course.
Something like that. And then I would just talk about, you know, being in his backyard and all that kind of shit. But for all the ones that were kind of just telling stories was when the family got up. His sister, his nieces.
His niece, dude. That was his niece. You have to realize it's really emotional. It's an emotional, and I think everybody listening knows what it's like. And for this, for a little 9-year-old, now first she got up there, and I wasn't sure. You figured she was gonna be real shy, and she would just say, "Oh, I just want to say, I love my Uncle Otto, and I know he's in heaven, and I'm going to miss him," or whatever, and then just walk away.
She couldn't hold back.
Oh, fuck.
She was crying.
Oh, my God, dude. I actually was it was actually making Beverly laugh because I'm just sitting there. I'm like, "Oh, this little motherfucker. Are you kidding me? Are you shitting me? This bitch." She was just like, "This wasn't fair." This 9-year-old, it was just brutal because I just knew it. You know, as soon as she goes, "You know, my uncle Otto was great, and he used to call us the snapping, what do they call them, the sugar snap twins or something."
Yeah, sugar
cute
snap
little name,
twins.
And I was okay. And then she's just like, "You know, he was a great uncle, and I know he's in heaven."
Well, I think the sugar snap twins. I think that's a Little Rascals reference.
Oh, okay. I don't even know.
Yeah. There's a sugar. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, it could be.
Sugar snap is from back then. And I think it's a Rascals.
And then she's like, "And I know he's in heaven." And then she just starts crying, and she's like, "I miss. I'm getting fucking upset thinking about it. It was so." And I was just like, I look at Beverly. I'm like, "This bitch," because it was just so it. Evoked so much emotion out of us,
and
that was the most painful moment of the whole time.
Me and Glenn, our pal Glenn Miller, we were next to bar next to each other, and we kind of had the same kind of a thing, like, "Let's just hang out here." And she goes up there, and me and him are Niagara Falls, and just you, I could hear him going, you know, and then that would make me go more, you know.
Yeah, it was so unbelievably painful, and I can't even imagine.
But great in the same thing.
Oh,
you know?
Dude, I wouldn't trade it. You know, the only thing I would trade it for is for him to be back. You know what I mean? Like, for him to be here. But I wouldn't trade it. Like, I'm not going to say, I wish I wasn't there because of it. Because to some of those great stories, and yeah, a couple of them made me laugh. But it was.
And also remember, too, is that no one, it wasn't like a wedding where people went up and did a reading. You know, here's a reading from the book of
Right, except
Saul,
for this asshole, you know? That you do a radio show with. I was the only one.
that fucking idiot that did her.
No. What I'm saying was it wasn't like, hey Joe, can you do something? Hey, little.
Oh yeah, where you got forced, where certain people have to go. It was just people who wanted to do it.
Sat down. And Chris was like, whoever wants to come up and say anything, you're more than free to. So his little niece, no matter if she, nervous or anything like that, she wanted to say something. And little 9-year-old girl, and boom, Niagara Falls. That's, but she wasn't forced to. She didn't have to. She wanted to, which was, it was organic is what I'm trying to say. It was all organic emotion.
Yeah.
Which was really, really cool.
It was so surreal, especially when, when you saw these guys and, to me, when John Mulrooney went up, dude, I remember watching him when I was, in high school. He was one of the first comics I ever saw on fucking television.
Right.
Swear to God. But when Chris, he said his name differently, and I'm like, that is him. I think he called him John Mulroney, and I'm going, I'm like, I think that's John Mulrooney. And his thing was so short, but I thought it was great. And almost everybody up there, I enjoyed listening to them. Johnny O did a great job. I don't know how the fuck he holds it together, but he was up there. He had a couple of real funny lines, appropriate to what was going on. Not that he was doing, jokes about fucking skim milk. I mean, he was up there telling stuff about Otto, and it was a couple of real funny, funny moments. And Joey Gay, it went a little long, but I liked Joey Gay. And then the line about when a punk rocker in the room is holding a puppet, all the other comics lose or something. And it was a great line. And you know what? I will say Jim Norton said three words that I thought epitomized the whole night. But it wasn't just the three words. It was how he said it and when he said it.
And to everybody, radio fans, Opie was there, Jim Norton,
Club Soda Kenny was there.
Voss and Bonnie.
Jim Florentine, of course, was there.
Sure, Don Jameson.
Jim and Don Jameson, of course. Don Jameson, I liked what he did, too. Jim was up there, and he was talking about Otto, and he was talking about, the inner dialogue between Otto and the puppet. And just the brilliance of what he did. And he was talking about his Letterman appearance, which was amazing. And he said, the way that, they really just attacked Letterman the way he did. Like, nobody had those kind of balls, And then he, he's doing his thing. And then you saw it. It just hit Jim Norton like a ton of bricks. And he just said, this is terrible. And he fucking walked off. And he did it so real and so fuck this. This is terrible. And it was, and to me, because I saw him, it built up and out of nowhere he just went. It just came out. And in that this is terrible was all the emotion that he had. And you saw it. And that really brought something out of me because it really says it all. Fuck that, dude. This is terrible. And it really said it. It was just fucking terrible. Because he just knew it. It was almost like, really? Right. This is when it ends? This is how it goes for a guy who's done this the way he's done it for so long and just, has and everybody knows it, that, he should have been a lot more successful. And whether you want to talk about monetary value or just the idea of, the knowledge of the amount of people that know who he was and all that. And he just and that really hit me too, man. I'm like, he's so right, dude. This is fucking terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It's like real quick, just to change the subject, but in the chat room, in the More Like Chat Room.
Fuck More Like Radio.
No, 4 years. David Otto just popped in.
Fuck him too.
4 years was like, I don't get the username. And David Otto's like, that's my name.
Oh. He's thinking it's like a fancy name for, like, you know,
yeah, he
for,
thinks
for
like,
the show
he
tonight.
He thinks like he's adding Otto to the name because of the conversation. He goes, no, for 4 years, his name is David Otto.
His name is actually David Otto.
Yeah, he's a good pal, yeah. But he's like, I don't get it. He's like, that's my name.
I'm a little confused. What's his name? Who? Oh, who gets the ball? Yeah, who?
Who's,
who gets paid? Yeah.
So who's on second and David's on first?
And Otto's on third. I don't know. Now, who gets the money? Every dollar of it. Sometime his wife comes down to collect it. Whose wife? Yes. Okay.
Yes,
we get it.
David's. No. But where's Otto? With Dave. It's David. What?
And I pick up the ball and throw it to who? Naturally. All right.
That's funny. It's very funny.
But yeah, there was.
No, no. Here's the thing. It's almost like. All right. You know what? It would be like is. If you're a Beatles fan, right? Say in 1970, when they did, Don't Let Me Down on top of the record studio, right? That was their last video. That was their last public performance ever together, on top, right? You know that video?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I don't think I've ever saw it.
You played the song. Don't let me down. It's from that. It's them playing on top of this record studio, with the cops around and stuff. And just think, if that was the last Beatles song ever made, because like Paul McCartney tours and you can have Ringo Starr sing, but just imagine, you know, Paul McCartney had Wings, right. You know, John Lennon had a couple other songs. Just imagine when a guy like Otto dies. There's no more.
Yeah.
There's no more new songs.
No.
You know?
You're right.
There's no more new material. There's no more. There isn't a Godfather 2. You know? There isn't a Star Wars Episode 7.
Right. Like, remember when I was saying how, like, my mother didn't understand that. Like, when she was like, well, who's going to take the puppet? And not, like, take the puppet and put it somewhere. Like, she's like, who's going to now do it? Like, she's like, who's going to do the act now? Like, who's going to continue it? I'm like, no, it's done. It's over. Yeah, you know, and she doesn't understand. But, you know, the sentiment was, you know, hey, you know, I don't think she really meant this. She was just curious, like, well, who's going to continue it? But the sentiment's nice. Like, yeah, it should never stop happening. But now you just have to look and go, well, you know what? Now it's our jobs to constantly make sure that people get turned on. How many times
Hold on real quick. In the chat room, David Otto puts LOL. And then 4 years goes, terrible coincidence. 4 years again goes, I'm so embarrassed. And then David Otto goes, don't be. Now they're making up.
But that's funny. First he's attacking him. What kind of a name is that, fuckface?
Yeah,
that's my
like,
real name.
I don't get it. Oh, that's okay. The Otto reference.
Sorry
that's
about
my
that.
Name.
But it's, I think,
that's very funny.
It's our job now to make sure that people, dude, come on. How many times in your life in the last, let's say 10 years, I mean, I've known him. I met him in 2000 and, you know, started to become friends with him in like 2002 or whatever it was. How many times have you said this to somebody? Dude, you ever heard of Otto and George? Dude, you gotta go see him. I would be on a show, and I still would do this. I go, dude, you want to come see me? And if I was on a show with Otto, I'm like, dude, come see me to see Otto. Yeah, you get to come see me, but dude, you gotta see this. Unfortunately, people are never gonna get that being there vibe because it's just different when you're there to get that real vibe and what he's all about. And you know, I mean, I must have said that 1,000 times,
absolutely.
So many times. Like, dude, you got to have you seen, like a few
who's,
comics
who's
said
your,
that.
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite comedian? And you're like, well, you've got Carlin, Pryor, and Otto.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I would never say Otto because I feel like I would. You know, it felt weird. But you know, like I found myself.
That would be your ranking. You know, like who do you go see? You know, or like if Opie and Anthony got mentioned or, oh, you do a radio show. Oh, you know, and somehow his name would it would come up. And I would be proud to be like, yeah, he's one of my good pals. Yeah. You know, what? Or somebody would mention him. And I go, yeah, of course I know him.
Yeah.
My pal. We had lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. And
so many times, man.
What I've been saying, you know, I told you about the, you know, the dream that I was having last week. The dreams, the daydreams of me doing the impression of him and me working the puppet. You know, it's almost like my attempt in my own brain how to keep him alive. Mm-hmm. Like I was actually thinking, like last night I was falling asleep and I was daydreaming again about me doing the puppet, but in the shadows. So you couldn't see my face, you know what I mean? But you could see the puppet, but I could do both voices perfectly.
Okay.
To almost where it was like people were like, oh my God, you know, just to keep it kind of alive, just doing his act. Nothing new, nothing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just so people could hear it again. You know, it's my kind of daydream. But I was also thinking, you know, what if we put together some way in the future, you know, we put together the Ottawa and George Comedy Festival. Or for some reason we can open up a comedy club and call it Ottawa and George's. You know, something to keep the name alive, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, in 5-10 years, you know, people are going to have no idea unless there's something that, you know, and something like what does that mean? What is that place or what is that festival? Why do they name it that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of depressing. That's depressing thinking that in 5 or 10 years that, well, I don't think in 5 years, but I think that, you know, and that's going to be like our job, you know. As much as our jobs and guys who are very, you know, who are, you know, established guys like Jim Norton and, you know, the Opie and Anthony, you know, gang, whatever you want to call it, that have to make sure that, you know, he needs to be remembered.
You know what? How about getting David Copperfield, Kevin Spacey, Penn Jillette, Tim Allen? Get all these guys, you know, and just kind of maybe, you know, make a documentary about them or do something. You know, they're all out in Vegas.
Yeah.
Have the Ottawa and George room, you know, at a casino. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just something with his brand.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to become a brand.
That's a good point. And that's what Trish's father was saying last night, is that one thing he never did. He was not a, you know. He was terrible with, like, you know, being a businessman. And he said, he goes, he never, and he said the same thing. He goes, he never trademarked anything. And he goes, I'm just afraid that, you know, people are just going to, you know, trademark that, you know. And, you know, like, he never trademarked George. Like, George, like, you should never, ever be able to name a, not that ventriloquists are popping up everywhere, but I'm sure with the, you know, with the rising huge fame of Jeff Dunham and that constant, you know, barrage of Otto for the last, you know, 20 years in the New York, New Jersey area, how well known he got, and that I think that there might be a stream of, like, young people that are going to do it, you know?
I have seen other puppets called George, whether it's already been ripped off, you know, like Stan and George or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
I have seen that before, but if anybody ever calls their puppet George Dudley, I will find you and slit your mother's throat right in front of your children.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then light you all on fire.
Yeah. I'm
can't do it. You know what? They would be mocked.
Yeah.
They would be completely mocked.
Yeah.
Once they were exposed. You know?
Wouldn't even be. It would be laughable, actually. I think they would just get. It's like just going up and, like, just verbatim, just going up and doing other people's stuff, like well-known people's stuff. You know what I mean? Like going on television and doing, you know, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. And they would just be like, all right, you need to go. You just need to leave. Take care, everybody.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
That's it. You're okay.
Yeah.
You just know, grab your stuff and just proceed to the exit.
Just forever. Just the Carlin story was a great one, you know, which, you know, we knew, but it was great for them to, you know, hear that George Carlin drove out of, you know, an hour and a half out of his way to go see him and stay.
The quick story is Joe Miller and Otto were out in, what was it, Cleveland?
Zany's in Chicago.
And George Carlin drove an hour and a half to see Otto and wanted to meet him and told the guy Joe Miller, his manager at the time, you know, I've been waiting years to see this guy.
Yeah, the only see, I wonder about some of these fucks where they hear a story and then they put themselves in it. And I don't know Joe Miller, but Otto always told me that when that happened, he had no idea that Carlin was in the audience. And so I'm just wondering, how did Carlin know to find his manager, but then Otto never, like, beforehand, and then Otto not knowing that Carlin was in the audience? See, I wonder about these fucks.
Yeah, well Joe Miller, they were around each other for a long time.
I understand that, yeah. And I know, and he managed him for, you know, a few years.
If he made that up, if he made that up where he wasn't there,
shame on you. Because,
shame on you.
Because Otto knew it. He goes, dude, he goes, if I would have known that Carlin was in the audience, I would have shit myself, you know?
Yeah.
So that was my only question during that, because I was like, wait a second, how did he know, how did he talk to you? I mean, if he would have said, hey, you know what, we saw him afterwards and he came up to us, like, but how did he talk to you and you spoke to him, but Otto didn't know? Otto was in the back, and you know what I mean? Like, if Otto was in the back of the green room and you're in the audience, like, what are you in the audience?
Yeah. Yeah,
and how does he know your manager? That was really bothering me.
No, because... I know. I think it's a true story. I think he was there.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I'm calling him out right now on our program. I'm calling you out, Joe Miller. I just don't like when guys tell bullshit stories.
Joe Miller got me into Pips. He got me into play Pips.
I've never heard anything about him. I don't know Joe Miller. That was my first time ever seeing him.
Yeah, he's a good
guy.
But
it just irked me a little bit, because I'm like, how did you know, and Otto didn't, you know? So that's all. That was like my only real complaint. And the food. No, I'm just kidding. There was no complaint with the food.
And that 9-year-old niece.
4 years in the chat says if he knew that Carlin was in the audience, his act wouldn't have been the same. You're right. Otto, Otto wasn't like a starstruck guy. I mean, he was hanging out with Roger. He was telling me he was hanging out with Roger Waters because he was opening up for some band, and he was in the back of the, backstage smoking pot with Roger Waters. And I was losing my mind. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But Otto just never, you know, he was like, yeah, it's cool. Like, one night we were at Otto's house. Remember when Chris Johnson was there? And Chris worked for the place, Starland, which, you know, Chris has worked with zillions of bands, big bands and even, like, smaller, rock band. But the place holds, like, 2,000 people. So, and there was a band that's called Alter Bridge, which is all the guys from Creed, except with a new singer. And they were pretty big for a while. Chris was there, and he's like, hey, Otto, I don't know if you know do you know the band Alter Bridge? And I was like, I don't know. We're all like, yeah, that's that Alter Bridge. We know Alter Bridge. And go, dude, these guys, the guys are on the phone. They're huge fans. They like to say hi to you. So Otto picks up the phone. And Otto's like, hello? Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank you. Click. And that was it. That was the extent of it. He had
that
no
sounds
it was,
perfect.
It was so true to what Otto was about, because he wasn't rude to him. And then he hangs up the phone and we were like, what was it? And we were like, what did he say? He goes, I don't know. They said I was a fan or something. Who gives a shit? And it was just so awesome, dude.
The guys from Creed call him. That's funny. That's a great story. I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, man. We were there. It was fucking hilarious, dude. It was just so awesome, man. But that's what he was like. He just, you know,
that's exactly how the phone call would sound.
That's what it would be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Thank you.
Thank
that
you.
Was it. He was on the phone for like
thank,
11
thank
seconds.
Thank you.
11 seconds. Some
that
fucking huge rock band is a huge fan of yours, and he's on the phone for like 11 seconds. It was just awesome.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah. So he was just, it was a great night. It was very, very emotional, and I don't know if you can see, Kenny, but I shaved my beard.
No, I didn't see.
Yeah, I just have a little piece in the middle, and because I knew I was waiting for that to go through in this beard, which I had not shaved since my birthday. Because it was like that, you know,
hold
first
on.
Week of my...
Do you have video on Skype?
I don't know. But you, if you look in the More Like Radio, you should see my picture. You should see the video, you dumb dumb. Look at my face. Actually, my face got a little thinner. It was all.
Oh, you look at you.
Yeah, see?
I don't even recognize you.
And I shaved it all off, and I go, oh, wow. I think I dropped a couple of pounds because my face looks thinner. It was all covered with fur, so I couldn't tell. Because, you know, I'll be honest, man. It's not like I've been eating like a fucking champ lately. I've just, you know, I'm just barely filling my gut and, you know, so whatever. But it was just a lot of fun. And Pete just walked in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it was I have, whatchamacallit, you want to take a break and I'll come back for a little bit?
Do you want to come back? No, you might have some shit to do. I don't know.
I'll come back for a little bit and talk to Pete for a few minutes. And then I'll probably about maybe, I don't know, 20 after 8 or something. I got to go.
Okay. All right.
How's that sound, right?
Yeah. Well, let me find some stuff here to take a breaky break. But, you know, we'll just take this, I'll just take this moment to say, you know, I want to thank everybody, you know, all the listeners who've been patient with us.
Yes.
Knowing that, you know, we just haven't been, you know, ourselves. And you know, we're getting better, and you know, and I know Kenny is looking forward to getting back into the, you know, into doing things, you know, the way it was, you know.
Yeah, it's basically yesterday we put our friend to bed, you know, and we put him to bed, and we're, you know, we will talk about him often. We will talk about him all the time, but it won't be a memorial thing the entire time. It's just bear with us. We're healing up a bit, and we'll be just back to full steam.
Yeah, soon, absolutely. Very soon. All right, let's we'll take a break. Well, you know what? We'll get all the sponsors out of the way, and then we'll be here with our buddy Pete. All right, so let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What the hell? Yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no. 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 Not at all. No.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
Not painful.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRtees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRtees. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRtees.
Contact the Conti and Kenny Show live by calling 240-HI-C&K. What the hell is that for a phone number? That's 240-442-2635. Or you can still use the old Skype address thing, name, whatever it's called, NPN Studios. That's NPN Studios, all one, and yeah. It's a complete load of rubbish. They never answer the phone anyway. And when they do, all they do is take a piss. Wankers. Here you go. This is how you listen live to the Conti and Kenny Show. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. You can download the TuneIn app and search More Like Radio, or listen through the chat on morelikeradio.com/live from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then listen to the last hour on contiandkenny.com. Or on contiandkenny.com from 7 to 10, the whole night. You can hear that however you want, you know? It's just a load of bollocks. It's so convoluted you wouldn't believe. Why they can't just keep it simple? One click. That's all you need. One bloody click. Dopey bloody Guido.
Hey, hey, no swearing.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Conti and Kenny Show. We are on More Like Radio every Monday night, 7 o'clock. I'm not going to say 7 to 10 yet because we're not sure about what time we're going to be doing the show. We might be going to 9, and then any type of bonus, anything after 9, would be just a little extra for you guys. We're still trying to figure that shit out. I just want to make it an easier, digestible show so we can get more people to listen and podcast. And I just think that, you know, 2 hours is much more, it's a little easier on the eyes and ears than 3 hours. So, you know, we'll see. But for now, we'll be on at 7 o'clock, and then we'll see what time we get off. And Pete's here, man. What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Not much, man. Kenny, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Hey, man. What's going on, brother? You good over there, Ken?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm here for a couple
shit.
Of minutes.
Holy shit. Dude, Kenny, guess who just walked in?
What?
Carucci.
Oh, nice. Up,
do you know Pete? That's Rich Carucci, and that's his wife, Christine.
Hi.
That's Pete.
Hey, what's up?
Sit right here, bro. Dude, Carucci walks in as a typical Guinea walking into another Guinea's place. He brought in a bag of Zeppelis. Holy shit, man. What's going on with you, man?
Just passing by.
Yeah, it's cool. Were you guys on your way out somewhere?
We're watching It's a Mad World and then went out for some Zeppelis. Let's get some Zeppelis drop off.
I say good show, sir.
Oh, that's great, man. Mad World.
Oh, yeah.
We were, you know what? We just did like the first hour and we spoke about the...
I figured that.
Yeah, we... how come you're not...
I figured that, you guys.
Yeah, we were talking about... and we thought that, you know, all in all, it was great.
I thought it was awesome.
It was great. It was brutally emotional. And even you,
yeah.
Fucking Carucci, he's such a dick. He texts me, we were texting back and forth, and he's like, he goes, I'm a fat little sissy. He was so upset at himself. He's like, he goes, I'm such a mess. I'm a fat little sissy. I'm like, no, you're not.
I was fucking freaking. I didn't even know what I said up there. I was just like,
You were just a blubbering mess. And I loved it. There were some guys who just went up there and they told a couple stories and they were okay. And maybe they were. More like they, and who knows? You know, as Kenny says it, they John Wayne'd it. You know, Kenny. Okay. Kenny calls it John Wayne'ing it. He turns it into a verb. But when guys went up there and they got emotional, it was just as good. And I thought, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for you that you know. And it doesn't mean you suck if you didn't. But if you were feeling that emotion and it came out, good for you. Because you didn't try to do something that you didn't want to do.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I just tried to bust
Carucci,
out
he got me and Glenn
you
got to
get headphones, stupid, because he's... Because then Kenny's talking and you can't hear him.
Oh, okay.
Right there. Thank you, Christine. But, it was just, I was glad that guys can just... Be themselves and women and just be themselves and just go up there and say what they wanted to say. Whether it was just all serious, just a couple of funny jokes, you know, stories and what happened. And then it was guys like me and him that just...
you started it off good, though. I thought that was really good how you went up there and set the bar and set the tone. And
I was, dude, if you could tell, I was a little nervous because I didn't want to look like a douche. I was so afraid that I was going to come off like a douche because... You know, I just had a couple of stories, and then I was reading this thing, and as I'm reading it, I'm going, "Oh, am I a fucking asshole?" And I was like, "Whatever." But nobody, most people said they thought it was good. So
I thought it was good. I'm glad I wasn't drinking. That would have been a fucking debauchery.
Yeah. How great was the? You know what? In hindsight, how great is the idea that they were like, you know what? Two drink max.
Otto would have been like, "This sucks. Let's go to Johnny O's. Fuck this place." I'll meet you outside.
Kenny was saying the same thing.
Yeah, he would have never went for that. No fucking way. Even if it came with a line of Coke, two drinks and a line of Coke, he still would have went for it.
But he would have none of it.
No,
yeah,
fuck.
A bunch of fucking squares.
Fuck them.
Yeah. But big thing, you know, with me and, Glenn Miller. We were standing right next to each other all the way in the back bar. And once one of our friends... got emotional, like, you know, whether it was Joe or even Crouch, you too. Me and him are just sitting, you know, standing shoulder to shoulder going.
because it was
our friends getting emotional that I've never seen before. And
right.
It was just like, oh.
And what happens is you see
you
yourself.
You missed my divorce.
you see yourself in that because. Those are the people you associate.
That kid got me too. The little girl.
We talked about that. Yeah, that was that.
Dude,
that was
she poked me in the balls with a stick.
Yeah,
you know?
That was really painful.
Yeah,
his 9-year-old niece.
I was like, damn,
there.
I wish I was fucking not here yet.
And I actually thought she was just going to go up there because you kind of thought she was like, well, my uncle and you know, and he called us this, and I'm like, all right, cool. She's just going to be like, he's in heaven, and I love you, and goodbye.
Right.
And she just broke down, like not like a kid though.
Right.
She broke down like an adult.
She did. She was holding it together. All those kids were like holding it together. I'm like,
yeah.
What are these kids on?
Yeah.
Yeah. The niece, the little girl, she Mike Schmidt'd it.
They should have fucking ran a thing and asked for a donation for something right about then. Everybody would have dug in. That was a heart fucking wrench, you know?
I was calling her every name in the book. I'm like, this little bitch. I'm yelling
Sugar,
at Beverly.
What'd
I'm
she
like,
say? They used to call them Sugar Bears?
Sugar Snap Twins or something? I don't remember exactly.
Twins.
Yeah. Yeah, I told Joe, I believe that's a Little Rascals reference.
Okay. Who was the guy in the suit with the fucking napkin on his, you know, the handkerchief? The guy who looked like, you know, he was from the Catskills. Was he from the Catskills?
That's, what was his name, Billy Guerin?
No. Billy Guerin was the one with the bad toupee.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about, right?
The guy with the napkin.
Oh, the guy had a toupee? I'm blind.
Oh,
though.
You're talking about the guy with the...
the guy that was like, I was out in L.A. for 25
That guy.
Times.
Who the fuck was he?
I forgot his name.
Sure. Is he a comic? Is he...
I believe so.
He was a comic.
Was he exiled to L.A. by Bix or something?
He had a weird Jewish name that started with an H.
Oh, Hiram or something?
Hiram something.
Was he the same guy that said he went to see Otto, took the cognac and the cigar? And that was the same guy. See, I told you that. My wife's like, that's a different guy. And I was fucking high, so I don't know. You know, I go, now it's a different guy? Okay. She had me convinced. Good thing you didn't rob a bank and we're like the best fucking people they got. It was two guys.
Now, Pete, you've seen Otto a couple times, right?
Yeah, actually, I got to see him live once, and that was the last time he was in my hometown, Bayonne.
Oh, the show.
Oh, shit. Oh, God, that horrible place.
Yes.
Hangar 13 or whatever?
Lot 13.
Lot 13.
Yeah, yeah. But, dude, let me tell you something about that night. That night, I was there. It was a Keith Carnival gig.
People actually showed up, I heard.
Dude, it was one of the I hate to sound like Kenny, but it was one of the hottest crowds.
Really?
I've ever.
It was.
It's fucking Bayonne.
Felt.
It's like doing a prison.
You know what?
No one ever goes there.
You couldn't turn around without bumping into somebody. Like, they jam packed as many people as possible.
It's like the size of the studio.
But it was
that's cool.
Put it to you this way. Like, John Clark was hosting, and then Keith went up, and I got like...
Half the comics had to wait outside these heavyweights.
Dude, I was getting applause breaks, so I knew, I'm like, this is... When I get applause breaks, I know it's a really good audience, right? So I'm sitting there going, there is no way I'm not going to sit in the back and fucking enjoy another memorable night with Otto. And he was just out of control. He was out of his mind, and it was so
that was excellent.
It was so great, man.
It was great.
I'm so glad you got to
Otto was team. Lit that night.
No, he wasn't.
No, that was another night.
No, Trish was there.
Oh, so okay.
As soon as he was done, he wanted to get out of here. He's like, I want to leave. I don't want to be
around. The last time
moves.
He was there, he's the only one that drew there. No one else got anybody ever to come there. It was fucking horrible. I did that place.
But it was...
Last time I did a show in Bayonne, a priest gave me the finger.
Yeah, it was my show. Remember they almost beat up Mark Anthony Ramirez?
Yes,
you spick motherfucker. Oh, and the chick, they almost beat up the chick. The guy, that was fucking horrible.
Wow, that's right. It wasn't, it was your
Yeah, it was one of my, of course it was my horrible gig. George's Arena or something.
George's Pub and Grub.
By the way, none of these stories surprise me at all.
Oh, it was fucking ugly. I said to everyone, listen, no one has to go back, nobody has to go up, anybody else, I'll still pay you. But like Troopers and stupid newbies.
Yeah, exactly. Dummies who won time on stage.
Yeah, the priest fucking gave Kenny the finger. That was great. Oh, God.
Yeah, man. But, you know what? I want to shift gears a little bit. Yeah. Hang out. Hang out until you want to go. Pete is a wrestler. He's also an actor. He's actually been in real movies, like Men in Black. I didn't know you were in Men in Black 3.
Awesome. Yeah. Real quick, if you blink, you miss.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, he was in The Wrestler, the movie The Wrestler.
Nurse, what was it? Nurse
Nurse Jackie.
Five. Nurse Jackie, five, yeah, yep. With his ass out.
Yep.
There you go.
He also was in The Big C, and it was such a great, great scene. He was playing a gay dude in a gay bar. Look at him, right? This fucking monster. And
he's a bear. That's what
It was actually, the episode was called Goldilocks and the Bears.
Yeah, he's a grizzly, though. I mean, he's a fucking true bear. And she was there with her husband, and he's obviously straight. And I think, if I remember your line, you walk up, and he's got his shirt opened up. He's got a nipple ring the size of a door knocker, right? He's just sitting there, and then he just goes, Get your own bar. Get your own, and in the gayest voice, like, get your own bar. It was just awesome, man. And every time I drive by his work, because he works near where I work, and he's outside, for a month, I would just drive by, roll the window, and go, get your own bar.
He's like, I'm being stalked. I tell everyone at work I'm being stalked.
Yeah. But he's also a filmmaker, cool. And this Saturday, you got something going on in Parsippany? Is it
in Morristown?
In Morristown. Where in Morristown?
At the high school. It's 50 Early Street, and it's going to be a benefit show for the Morristown and Mendham Wrestling Boosters Club.
Oh, cool.
And it's actually for a North Carolina-based company that is doing a special show up here this weekend called the UPWA. So any details you want, you can go to the upwa.com. And I'll be defending the heavyweight title in the main event against former WWE superstar Sal Sincere.
No shit.
Yep.
Now, is there going to be a couple of different bouts? Or
Undercards,
as they call it?
Yes. Actually, we have Hall of Famer Tito Santana on the card.
Get out of here. I even know him.
Yep. The Patriot will be wrestling in a flag match against Big Ben Cromwell. So a little Revolutionary War. Bringing it back to Morristown.
That's funny. It's
the British versus America.
And Morristown is a huge historic town.
Exactly. It's actually called, the event's called the Battle of Morris County.
Very cool.
Yep.
Now, Tito Santana. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, what's the website again that people can go to?
TheUPWA.com.
I got to make sure I put it on. UPWA.com.
Yes. And if anybody wants tickets out there, you can actually pick up tickets at the Buffalo Wild Wings in either Parsippany or Rockaway, or Giuseppe's Pizza in Chester.
No shit.
Yep.
So they can go and buy tickets there?
Yep. Yeah, all three of those places are ticket outlets.
And get awesome. A slice.
Yes. And some wings.
Very nice. Cool, man. So, now, what do you like doing better? I think I know the answer, but what do you like doing better? Acting, filmmaking, or wrestling?
Probably acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, if I could be on set every day, I would.
Less painful?
Sometimes. I do a lot of stunt work. So, actually,
that's how you got into acting, right?
Yeah. I was a stunt double in the movie The Bounty Hunter. With, Gerard Butler and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And then, that's how I got my union card.
You did all of Jennifer's stunts?
I did. I did. We had the same cup size. So yeah, what was it? October. I just did stunt double work for Blue Bloods. Donnie Wahlberg hit me with a shopping cart.
Now, do you ever have to be hospitalized for some of the stunts and stuff?
No, thankfully I've been pretty lucky. I guess the worst would probably be on the Bounty Hunter. I got hit with a champagne bottle and it cut open the back of my head, but it was the same spot that I always cut when I shave. So everyone on set's freaking out. Oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And I said, yeah, just give me a paper towel. Let's go again.
Oh my God. Yeah, I would shy away from the stunts.
Yeah, yeah, but you're a walking fucking
stunt. I can't eat hot peppers.
Because fucking Karooch.
It just looks like it's... understandably, there's a lot of downtime. I understand all that part, but I think that's more when you're... Like, you know, when you have a huge part in a movie.
Yes and no. I remember when I filmed the episode of The Following, I did one scene. I did my main scene. I had a fight scene with Kevin Bacon.
I saw that, yeah.
And then I went back to my trailer, and then maybe, I don't know, 8-10 hours later, they're like, oh, hey, we have one more scene for you.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was just, you get paid to nap.
What a difference, though. He just said, back to my trailer. If he wasn't an actor, I would figure he meant Trailer Park.
But, yes. Well, it's funny, because I'm sitting there listening to what he says, and I go, I say that every night.
That's exactly what I say. But he means like a rich dude's trailer, you know, like that he just visits.
Oh, God. My life is different.
Yeah, man. But it's just, like, I've watched almost everything that you've been in. I just that episode, and then I just watch. And I remember the first one I saw you on, was it White Collar?
White Collar, yeah.
And I'm watching this episode, and I actually was like, wow, this is a pretty good show.
Yeah, that is.
And I watched the episode, and he's playing one of the guys who kidnapped this chick.
See that.
But she's not a... She's supposed
to be a 9-year-old girl, yeah.
She's supposed to be 9. And... And you just see him, and I'm watching the scene, and he's the one that's with her, and she's in like a warehouse somewhere, and he's just on a table, and he's just eating cereal like this.
Chinese food.
Oh, Chinese food, yeah. Like this psychopath, right? With not a fucking stitch of emotion
in
him.
That's awesome.
And because the way he looked, you know, he didn't have the beard or everything. Mm-hmm. So he looked like one of those Russian fucking scary dudes. And he's just looking, and you know, he's eating, and he's just looking at her. And then at one point, you had to put the gun to
the back of her head, yeah.
Yeah, and he had to put a gun to the back of this 9-year-old's head.
Yeah.
And
I was all wanted to do that, I'll tell you, if you have kids.
But she was actually, what, like 14?
I think she was, I think she was a little older.
She was older, but they made her look young or whatever.
Your Honor, she was 14, all right? I tell you, yeah. It's not like I put a gun to her head.
Yeah. Take my daughter, please, sir. But it was just great to watch it because I'm going,
that's awesome.
That's my friend Pete. He's a nice boy. Yeah. He's a nice boy. What happened? You know? But it was just great to
watch. I get
watch
that when people come to see me wrestle a lot. Like I've had, you know, when I was wrestling with my tag partner, we were the Repeat Offenders.
Right.
So came out in convict suits and, you know, I can get vicious in the ring. I guess anybody has the vicious side, but I once had a friend come and see me wrestle and goes, that's not the same person that was playing with my kid yesterday. Where did that come from?
Yeah, no, I can't see Joe getting vicious in the ring.
I just can't see it.
But see, I've always said this. That's why I can equate stand-up with wrestling.
Absolutely.
There's so many similarities in the fact of how many years of, and the word can be used for both, a grind. Mm-hmm. It's a long grind.
Yeah, but
I
think Richard Pryor was the last person to become crippled from stand-up.
I understand there's different things it's a long grind of doing shitty gigs.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a shitty gig in a bar that we do, or
a shitty gig in a bar,
or
yeah, the wrestler movie, man, that's what it was.
Fucking eight people, the wrestler. I thought that's what's great about the wrestler. It showed that back. You know the backstage of that.
Right.
A little bit.
And the sad part is, I know at least 5 guys off the top of my head that are exactly like him.
Right. So do we, comics, actually. Yeah.
But there are comics, and it might be more of a mental breakage of the guy, right. But it's just doing it for, like, when
he
I was
saw
a kid.
It yesterday.
When I was a kid, I remember I used to think, like when I was 14, 15, I wasn't even thinking about doing stand-up, but I used to think to be a stand-up comic, you have to go and do some clubs, get 10 minutes together because you would only see comics do 10 minutes and then you become a superstar. Yeah. And then you get, and of course I got older.
You get
and
on
realized,
MTV.
And then you realize, holy shit, it's years and years of this grind. And you guys do the same thing. Yeah. You guys, it's more of a physical thing.
Right.
But you guys, of course, do, you know, you
but it's everything too. It's like the travel. You know, I remember
sleeping in a car, shitty hotels.
Sleeping on somebody's floor, wherever. Yeah. You know, I remember in 2007, I got a brand new Chevy Malibu. A year later, it got repossessed. In that 1 year, I put 87,000 miles on my car.
Wow.
That is a comic.
Yep. That's a fucking comic's fucking life, man. You know, and that's why, like, you have gotten, like people always ask us, and they're like, you know, like, oh, man, like, you know, you got to work with so-and-so?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know so-and-so.
Exactly.
You know, and they're like, how do you know them? It's like, he's my friend. Yeah. Or he's a guy I've worked with a few times. We're acquaintances. Like we were talking about with Otto. It's like, there are people that are like, you know Otto?
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, he's a shithead. He's my friend. You know, and I know you could say the same thing about some guys where you're
right.
Like,
I've had the luck of wrestling almost everyone that I grew up watching.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's just
it's like
great.
Playing baseball with Johnny Bench. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Betting with Pete Rose
against him. that guy's never going to hit 4,000 hits. You know, I'll bet the house on it. But now you seem to do this on occasion. It seems like once a month you're going down to North Carolina.
Yeah, this company is based out of North Carolina, so I do wrestle there probably once every other month. They got asked to do this show up here, and which is really good because I do have a lot of friends and family that want to come see me wrestle, and I kind of walked away from it maybe about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Limped away from it?
Yeah, I was just mentally I wasn't in a good place, and So I walked away for a while and then got convinced to come back for one last show, and that was a year and a half ago.
Man, awesome. Tell them and the audience about that video where you showed me where, and if you could describe happened.
That was July 6th of last year. I was actually on vacation down there, and I worked it around wrestling two shows, and we wrestled July 4th in an outdoor show. I wrestled former superstar, The Barbarian. And had a great show down there. And then the 6th, I was wrestling a guy named Sinister, and he kicked me, and I stumbled backwards into the rope, and there were brand new ropes, and the top rope snapped, and I went over backwards.
Oh, Christ.
And I hooked the bottom rope and prayed while I was going over, and I actually went over and tucked my neck as hard as I could and went completely over. And, you know, if I wasn't trained the right way, I probably would have been dead.
It was crazy,
yeah,
dude.
See, wrestlers are like, that is like a sport where those athletes are the most trained because, like, football players got pads and stuff and everything like that. Wrestlers,
yeah,
I mean.
We have nothing. Yeah, and a lot of places like that place, it's not mandatory by the state to have mats outside. So that was just concrete in an armory.
Yeah, I can imagine the bookers like fucking that book comic. Don't worry, it's cement. It's soft cement.
You don't need a microphone. Don't worry about it. No, the walls, they really keep in the sound.
It's only a little electricity.
But when I saw that, and it really brought home what you guys do. And when people go, wrestling's fake. If you want to say, I'm not even a fan of wrestling anymore. Right. But if you want to say, hey, this shit is choreographed. If you want to say, the best thing you can say is, these guys know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Because it's like ballet, but with fucking violence. Punches. It's violent ballet.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know how to take a fall, if you don't know how to push a guy the right way, you can really hurt somebody and yourself.
Ironically,
more than you do. You get fucked up anyway.
I learned how to fall from martial arts because any professional fighter can take a fall so they can absorb more punishment when they fall and get back up quicker. Like, if you just fell in the street, it would hurt. If you fell in the right way and you absorbed as much from your body as you could and you use your entire body to absorb it, it's going to hurt a lot less and you up and punch somebody in the mouth.
Carucci, ironically, learned how to fall from Jack Daniels.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys know that.
And then I punched myself in the mouth and pretend it was my ex-wife. Bitch, don't make me push you again.
Kenny, you still there or you got to go?
No, I'm listening to the show. It's a good show.
All right. Cause, you know,
no, I'll be around for a couple more minutes.
Okay. Oh, he's going to show real quick. He's going to just show Carucci. I just want to watch this, Carucci.
And then make sure you watch the slow motion right after.
Whoa. Holy.
Is that crazy? Watch the slow-mo.
I can't believe that you can move like that.
Well, just watch the slow-mo.
Me either.
That is dangerous. Whoa, nice kick. Oh, man, what'd you think when that happened? Fuck.
All I could think of was grab the rope, grab the rope, grab the rope.
Goodness. Now, is that on YouTube?
Yeah, but I think I have it private.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's like should have been done in Madison Square Garden in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Can you do that next Friday?
You know what?
Daffy Duck. You can only do it once.
You know what makes that video even worse? My fiance is the one filming it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
So you can feel the horror in the shake.
Yeah,
How she didn't put the camera down to call help.
No, well, she goes, as soon as she saw me moving, she knew I was okay. She was worried, but...
Oh, yeah,
it's weird because as soon as it happened, you heard her dialing the phone,
right.
And it was her State Farm insurance guy. And she was wondering if the check was going to go.
Is the ring covered?
Are we all caught up on payments?
Is the ring covered? Do I have to pay it?
Oh shit, man!
That was awesome. I can't believe you were able to move like that. And oh Christ, you saved your own life by holding on. I would have been fucked.
All I could think of was one of the guys that trained me when I first started training at his school in Lake Hiawatha. He told me a story about how he broke his ankle because the rope snapped. And That's what was going through my mind as soon as I hear that rope snap.
Holy shit. They need stronger ropes.
Yeah, man. That's got to be brutal, man.
Yeah.
It's... Ah, damn. Well, hey, I wanted to just do this real quick. Just hang up for a second.
Sure.
We've been doing this thing where we finished a show and we played the same outro music for the show. We've been doing it forever. And it's this right here, right? Finish the show all the time. We've been doing it since we started the show again.
Uh-huh.
And a couple weeks ago, actually, right before Otto had died, the show beforehand, we were like, look, we want just a little thing where we'll have a little contest. Whoever can email us with the name of this song, because it's just a loop.
Right.
And it's an old song, so I said, you know what? We'll see if anybody can figure it out. Well, we finally got the email the other day from one of our listeners, and I find the email.
Is it Bev?
No, it's actually not. She doesn't even know the fucking song anyway. It's not. But the email is from a listener, and I want to read the email because it's actually complimentary to us.
Definitely.
And we can use a little bit of self-esteem around
here. Absolutely not.
So,
I see what your office looks like. Good thing there's a radio.
So it's from a listener named Tyson. And
he's in prison.
Hey, guys. I was going to call in after the initial challenge, but the next show was the Otto tribute. So blah, blah, blah. Your outro song is Junior's Eyes by Black Sabbath on the album Never Say Die. Geezer's bass is unmistakable. I didn't know until after this past Monday's podcast, the 28th, that you didn't know whose song it was. But he figured out it's a contest. You two have been a soundtrack to my travels since 2009. Whether trekking to work or the many adventures to the beaches, bays, or cities I like to go to, Conti and Kenny are with me in the car. And I think he's kind of saying it, you know, he's busting her balls a little bit.
Right.
But he's, you know, and keep doing what you do. Much love from a fan. Guys,
P.S. I'm saving up to pay for radio.
So, exactly. So, to show you guys what was in the, if anybody doesn't remember, first, it's a Harry Potter pin.
There you go.
A copied CD of a movie called Bossy Creek 2.
I totally forgot we had the prize closet.
Yes, which they didn't make, from what I gather, because Frank helped us with this. There was never a movie called Bossy Creek 1.
Excellent.
They just went with Bossy Creek 2. Or that's a band, I'm not sure. Here's another one. This is called High School Shot Biz.
It's the Columbine original tape.
I'm not sure what that means. Then looks like a video game for a computer. It's called Romani Knights. It's got
Japanese.
That Japanese thing on there.
Probably some great porn.
Some lovely beads.
For Mardi Gras.
And for Mardi Gras. And a Disney's Alice in Wonderland poster, but it's out of a magazine. So
stuck
it's
together.
Kind of small. It has the little picture of the scissor to show you where to cut it.
That's good.
And it's only the size of a regular piece of paper.
It's inside of the scissor, too.
Yeah, and it's an amazing 3D. Comes out March 5th. 2010.
These are good trinkets in case you want to buy Manhattan in 1412.
So this little group here will be going out to
you
our
you put that
listener.
In the Times capsule, it'll be like they were autistic then? Everyone?
Apparently all these autistic people were doing internet radio
they
shows.
Ate the crayons. There's none left.
So I want to thank our friend Tyson, our listener, to for doing that, and also send him some Conti Kenny stickers.
Talk, yeah, so. Yeah, and maybe throw in a couple of best of CDs in there.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any, but
I got some. I'll give it to you.
Okay, then I'll hold off. I'll get a couple of best of CDs to him.
Yeah, yeah. I actually going through all my stuff. I got a couple of volume twos and a ton of volume threes.
All right, very very nice. So what about you, Karuch? What's been going on with you?
Nothing. Wife, kids, comedy.
Yeah.
Been doing some. Did a fucking horrible show the other day. I've never seen something go so ugly so fucking quick.
I saw Buddy Flip put a post on it, too.
Dude, he never had a shot. He was out in Great thing is it's going really bad. The first guy, I had to pull him in 4 minutes. The next guy made it about 12 minutes. So he's out in the car getting high. And I start calling. I go, got to get him the fuck in here. Got to get him the fuck in here. So I'm calling on the phone. You got to answer. You got to answer. Then I realized his phone's on the table next to me ringing. I went, I'm fucked. I just went, I'm fucked. I went back up. They were hating. I'm like, I got to do some time. He came running in. He
now,
quipped.
This isn't that infamous Clifton gig.
No, this was a new infamous East Hanover. It's just they were partying all night. I went up first and did 15. I had him, and then at that point, the next, you know, went up, and if you didn't, they were just like, fuck you.
And I know the other comic, and he's a good comic, but he's a little quiet. He's very reserved.
There was no chance.
You're not going to have a chance in a rowdy
room. I just
room.
Insulted like 15 minutes of everybody in the room. And,
right.
Yeah,
and you're going to,
yeah. Yeah, he went up, and they were like, fuck you. They took their anger from me and shot him with a fucking dart. Fuck you. He never had a chance. He never had a chance. He goes, I'm going to leave. I said, I don't fucking blame you.
That's awesome.
They were leaving,
man,
as quick as they were getting off stage. I got to go.
That sounds like that Lake Hiawatha gig.
Yeah, what's your worst, like, you know, like at least recent memory or whatever, of a terrible fucking wrestling gig?
Because
it might be a different idea of what we think a bad gig is.
Two come to mind.
Okay.
I
only need one.
Well, you're getting.
I'm just kidding.
You're gonna tell him what to do.
Yeah. He's not vicious.
He's
huh?
gonna show you how to fall,
cocksucker.
Right out the window.
He could throw me out the window. All I could do is turn his mic off.
Please, not my car.
I just took insurance off it.
We used to do a show every other Wednesday in the place in Wallington called the Rec Room.
Oh yeah, I remember that place, the heavy metal bar over there. Yeah.
And the first week we did it for 3 weeks before they closed down. The first week, there was 4 people there.
Really?
The second
all
week,
the dairy workers from across the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were just getting off.
I
it was,
place.
Then the second time, there was 6 people. And then the last time, there was 8 people. Mm. So we were really building a following there.
Okay. There's not enough people to wrestle there.
Yeah. The locker room was more packed than...
it's a comedy show, though.
Yeah. And so that one was pretty bad just for the crowd. But there was this show up in Pennsylvania... And I don't remember what town it was in, but
I'm sorry, I thought you just put a period at the end of it.
Many a comedian story started like that.
Yeah,
too.
It usually ends with that. It's good. Yeah, I did a gig in Pennsylvania. Period. Next story.
But see, I did a gig in Pennsylvania 2 weeks ago, and there was 500 people there,
right.
And they were so loud that we had parked like 2 blocks away. We went to the car and heard
you
them.
Can hear him. Wow,
yeah. That was cool. Like that was a cool experience. But this one bar show we did a couple years ago, it was me and I think my tag partner. Wasn't there, so I tagged with somebody else against these two guys, and there was probably about 4 people there to see the wrestling show and 30 people there to drink. So now the promoter said, you know, this is a bar show, this isn't family friendly, so you could go out. So I'm looking at this crowd, and I just stop, and I look out in the crowd, and I go, are you redneck fucks too busy thinking about fucking your cousin to watch what I'm doing in here? All of a sudden, it looked like Deliverance where they all started coming towards the guardrail.
I want to wrestle him.
Holy shit.
And then I punched the referee, who was 15 at the time, and gave him a black eye, and it was his mom's first time seeing him wrestle.
So the kid, he wanted to wrestle, but he was refereeing.
He was refereeing. Well, and it
why
was
aren't you doing stand-up?
I punched him, and I gave
punched
him a black
Bob
eye.
Levy in the eye,
and he went down like a sack of potatoes.
Holy shit!
Man,
and his mom, he goes, we get in the back, and he goes, "This is my mom's first time seeing me."
Oh, that's awesome, man! That's great. But was that like because he was new, so? He started out by doing the rest, or the refereeing.
I mean, I was,
some guys like doing that also.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a referee, so I don't think he had. I don't know if he ever had dreams to wrestle, but I know, like, I started training when I was 15 to wrestle, and then I started setting up rings and doing whatever they needed me to do. And then when I was 18, I started managing a guy, so I would just walk him to the ring, and then that guy, you know, years later became my tag partner. But I mean, I busted my ass to get from point A to point B. And, you know, just like you guys, like, you're doing these small shit shows for nothing.
Man.
And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you're jerking the curtain. And other times, you know, you get to headline because the real headliner doesn't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, he's been to our shows.
Pete knows. Pete
Joe
knows
Anthony's
he's
unconscious.
He knows, he knows our career.
You know, just like you said before, there's very parallel lines between. I think just entertainment in general, like the song "Turn the Page," applies to anybody in entertainment.
Yeah, I see more similarities in the wrestling than I do with music.
Yeah.
Although I do see the similarities, of course. But a band, it just seems different because there's more people involved.
And they don't have to see it. They can just listen.
Yeah, you know, because, listen, if you're wrestling, if everybody's talking to each other, granted, there's going to be noise going on in the background. Right. But if they're not reacting to what's going on in the ring, you're like, you're almost thrown. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
we're supposed to hear oohs and this.
No
and
one
that.
Wants to kick the shit out of the band either. Usually the comics or the fucking wrestlers, they want to beat the shit out.
The only thing that bands, I think the worst time is when you're getting big, where you're big enough to where you're opening for huge bands, but you're still not that well known, and all you hear are these stories of getting pegged by fucking bottles, you know, which is just ridiculous anyway.
I went to go see Guns N' Roses 2 years ago for my birthday at the Meadowlands, and the opening band was absolutely horrible, totally different style of music. Got booed the entire time.
Yeah.
Cut their set short and said, hey, we were happy to be here. Apparently, you guys weren't happy to have us here.
Wow. Talk about taking the regal way out, man. Yep. Like, that was the big, to be a big man.
The check cleared? Yeah, we're gone.
Yep.
We're
done. Fucking blow me.
That's what happened the other night at that show. The guy who hired it comes up to me and goes, how much longer does this have to go on for? I said, you already gave me the check. You tell me. I'll pull it fucking right now. Right now. We're done. Give him music. He went, okay. I went up. Buddy said, what happened? I grabbed the microphone. Thank you, folks. Buddy and Selva get in the car. We went out the fire exit.
Yeah.
Went out in the car. And said, I said, give me that fucking pipe.
Just great fucking stories.
We went to a diner where a fucking waiter that looked like Doug Stanhope was waiting on us. I said, what's this guy's story? 11:30 at night in a fucking diner in Parsippany.
No, I thought you were saying that the guy looked a girl looked like Doug Stanhope.
No.
I was like, that's a fucking ugly ass broad.
Yeah, that would have just made perfect for that night, but you alright?
Yeah.
What's that, cannoli dust? Eat a fucking...
No.
Have a Zeppelin. I brought the Zeppelin.
No.
There's 800 pounds of flesh at this fucking table. No one's going to eat the fucking Zeppelins. I'm going to have this guy wrestle you for the fucking Zeppelins.
No. I got hardly anything left to drink.
Cannoli dust.
That's actually going to be the name of this episode. Cannoli dust. Excellent.
Oh, fucking Kenny.
You know what, man? That's one of the best laughs I've had in a while.
You know what I love? That the trick that I showed you the last time I was here still works for Kenny's picture.
It does, doesn't it? Yep. Pete was the one that showed me this trick for the Kenny's pic. You all right, buddy?
I'm good.
He got cannoli dust now, too.
His gin and tonic went down the wrong pipe.
Kenny's the only guy who needs liquid plumber after he drinks. Clean his pipes.
Hey, Kenny, this just popped in my head. Do you watch the show Bar Rescue ever?
Absolutely, yeah.
How much do you want to drink after they open up the bar? And just all of that stuff is every single time, I just want to drink something as soon as they show
when
the
they
new bar.
When they fix it and it's
when
all done?
When they fix it, like the other day, they were talking about how Captain Morgan is the most bought alcohol in all of Rhode Island.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking vampires.
No shit.
So they did. It was all Captain Morgan's, and I looked at my fiance and I said, "I'll be right back." She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I need to go get a drink."
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's what happened.
Rhode Island.
That's what happened to that show.
Rhode Island.
I would have. I mean, I would.
I could see that. That fucking looks like it would be on their flag. You know, Captain Morgan.
Wow. I know, like, in the Midwest, when you go into Wisconsin and Minnesota, it's, and I know Brent couldn't attest to this, it's one of the biggest beer drinking areas in the country. But because it's cold 8 months out of the year, so they're either sitting at a bar or they're at home drinking because there's nothing to
do. I think Milwaukee has the biggest, like, tolerance to drunk and driving. I think it's Milwaukee.
Really?
What, you're in fucking Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's true.
What, are you, Lorraine and Shirley?
Lorraine and Shirley's. This shithead. Yeah. I watch Lorraine and Shirley after somewhat happy days.
The big ragu. I got no fucking life.
He's like, I love the big Romano on Lorraine and Shirley.
Lenny and Squiggy.
Jesus, man.
I'm glad you came by, man.
Yeah, I got to take her home. She's falling asleep. She thought Dad was going to be here. And
yeah, she actually, her friend who is visiting, he's from her from here, but he's...
He's from Wayne.
He lives in... he's from Wayne, actually. He's from Wayne. And he's lived in Singapore for... He's traveled around the world, and he just bought a place in Milan. He works for a big gas company, big oil company. He's an engineer. Huh. And
me too.
So he's visiting for a little bit. Yeah, well, it's true.
Well, I played one
on TV. It's
actually
the one that you work for actually. And so he's visiting, and she's going out, and they're all going out to dinner and stuff. But it's like, this dude's an engineer. He's a really smart guy, right? But he was another one when he was young. And, of course, I'm not using his name, so it's okay. Did acid, fucking smoked pot, fucking drank, and he's a fucking genius. And he's working for a big oil company as an engineer.
How great is that when you're that smart, where you don't need all those brain cells? Like,
isn't
I'm autistic
great?
At this point.
The couple of brain cells I have, he's saying, are so fucking useful. You
it's
know?
Like he gave everyone else a head start.
Yeah, it's
I'm going to make myself retarded.
It's like normal brain
and
cells
still be
are,
more successful than you.
It's like normal brain cells are Christine size, and his brain cells are Pete's and ours. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like his brain cells
mine
are just,
too, but they're probably cancerous.
You're a disaster.
Well, a guy like that, when he's growing up, he's like, do I want to invent cold fusion? No, I'll do ass and just be a rich engineer.
Yeah, man. So he's got a place in Milan. And he's married, and he married a woman from Japan.
Who knows nothing about divorce or income.
But he's going to be there like a year or two. And I was like, well, dude, when you finally settle down to where you want to live, where do you want to live? And he goes, Japan.
Really?
He wants to live in Japan.
I actually have a buddy that's moving there. He's wrestled there like on a few different tours.
Yeah.
And but now he's moving there in I think, God, like 12 days.
That's awesome. What a change.
It would have been weird if he said, like, Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, Lake Hiawatha. Yeah. I want some lakefront property.
I just think that I find and he's a tall guy.
Right.
But I just picture any guy in America who's like 5'4" or under who has Napoleon syndrome wants to move to Japan.
Yeah, really.
So they can just walk around and
be
just
a basketball player.
Exactly. Play guard for like, you know, the Tokyo Tomahawks or whatever, you know. I don't know, man. We're probably gonna end it short, man.
All right, cool. Yeah.
My
wife's like, I gotta go home, and she's been with me for a couple days now, so she's going back to her
poor
house.
Fucking woman.
Well, we don't want to start.
Shit.
We don't want to rush this marriage and live together or nothing.
I know. Grouch is the only guy. He's smart. He's the only guy. You know, like, you hear sometimes you'll hear people are married like 50 years and they go, what's your secret? And they'll go, we live in separate bedrooms. We sleep away from each other. And Carucci, it's like, how do you guys do it? And they're like, well, it's different addresses.
Yeah,
that's
we
how
live
we
20
do
minutes at least away from each other.
Yeah. He's like, key to a good marriage, two towns over.
Right. A toll. A toll so you interact with someone else on the way over there.
Oh, man. Well, you know,
hey,
what?
I just want to say, Pete and Carucci, thanks, guys. That
thanks.
Was you guys
oh, no.
Hey.
Awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
Thank you.
Man. They made the show.
Can
made
I plug
show.
Something?
Absolutely.
Thursday and Friday, I'm at Willie McBride's.
Is that this week?
This week.
What date? So
Thursday is I don't know what the
oh Thursday
the,
is
the
8th and 9th.
And 9th.
The 8th and 9th, I'm at Willie McBride's in Hoboken.
Oh, okay.
8 o'clock.
Shit. Yeah, it's a couple of guys I know supposed to have a show Friday night in Hoboken, but it got canceled.
Sunday night, I'm in the Laughing Devil in New City, New York.
Oh, yeah, how's that?
I don't know. The guy must have sold it, so now I'm allowed there back in.
Oh, okay.
We've had some problems.
But, yeah, so for anybody who doesn't know, mine and Kenny's show on May 9th in Hoboken is canceled. And for the few people that bought tickets, I got to work on it to get them their money back.
And it wasn't because of us.
No, I know the place. They're not going to be doing comedy. They got one show with Levy, and then it's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's nonsense. Yeah.
But if you guys are upset that you didn't get to go to the May 9th show, you can always come to Morristown May 10th.
Right. See the wrestling.
And see me wrestle for the Battle of Morris County. It's going to be at the Morristown High School, 50 Early Street. And doors open at 6:30 p.m. And you can get tickets at Buffalo Wild Wings, Parsippany, or Rockaway, or Giuseppe's Pizza in Chester, New Jersey.
Awesome. And if you, any other information, you can go to the UPWA, UPWA. It's the UPWA.com. And it's all going for a nice, it's actually a fundraiser,
yeah,
right?
It's a fundraiser for the Morristown and Mendham Wrestling Boosters Club.
Nice. All right, cool. So get those kids bigger chairs. Is that what it's for?
Yes. Steroids.
So they can sit up at the table and fucking eat with their parents.
Tell them, watch that top rope. It's good, bitch. Love you, Kenny.
Boosters.
You too, brother. Thanks.
Later, Ken.
Be safe.
All right, Kenny. I'll just do the other plugs. Thank you, guys, man. Thanks, everybody, for being patient with us, man. We're trying to get to, doing regular shows again. Regular fucking length shows.
We will.
By Karuch, by Christine. And so for this week, a little shorter show, but that's okay. You know what? Kenny, I got to tell you, it was a short show, less than 2 hours, but it was great.
Really?
You heard
fun.
You heard me say it. The first hour was really good. It was nice to hear some good shit. But wow, the second part was when Carucci and Pete came
Pete
in.
Pete and Carucci, awesome.
That was awesome.
Cannoli dust. Fucking brilliant. That guy, I swear to God, he's a pisser.
He is just one of the funniest assholes on the planet.
He really is. He really is.
So, all right. I want to thank everybody in the chat rooms. Thank you for being patient with us. Tell your friends, tell your enemies about the show. Like our Facebook page, all right? It's Conti and Kenny on Facebook. How about our Twitter accounts? Follow us on Twitter. It's at CNK Show. Mine's at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. And Brent's, who in 2 weeks he's going to be back to normal, so he'll be in the chat, being our in-chat producer. His is at White Ass Brent. Don't forget.
Yeah, he's in the chat. He put everything up there.
Yeah, but he's been working later, so but in 2 weeks he'll be in at 7 o'clock and being there for us. So don't forget to subscribe to both the podcast and the shorts. Go to iTunes or Stitcher, or just go to ContiandKenny.com, or you can go to MoreLikeRadio.com. And get the TuneIn app. If you're on your phone right now, go to fucking your apps. Very nice. Go to your apps. Fucking look up TuneIn. It's like an iHeartRadio. You get it? And then you search More Like Radio. Put it in your favorites. There's a little heart there. Then, if you want to listen to the show live anywhere, you just click on your TuneIn app, and you hit your favorites, and More Like Radio comes up. You click on it, boom, you're listening to us live. And that's it, man. A couple of shows that we're friends with that we want you to check out. Metal Breakfast Radio, Dave Ingram and Donovan. We want to thank you, Dave. Thank you for everything you're doing. And Dave's been going through some shit, and he's working his way out of it. So he's been doing some repeats on his podcast, but great podcast. Unlearn with Rich and Tony, with our pal Rich Woods and Tony Cigars and Scotch. That's unlearn.tv. Joe Fernandez, his great podcast, I Don't Know Joe Show. And Benny Michaels, his show, Pod Cheese. Very good podcast. And everybody's, all the shows on More Like Radio, like it's all about me and Cousin Joe and Daytime Divas and Nighttime Divas and fucking the Orange Room, the Blue Room, the Green Room, the Hippo Room, all the fucking rooms, the Red Show, the Blue Show, the Green Show.
Are you just trying to get to 9 o'clock?
Yeah, pretty much. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. I just want to see how I'm doing with this. But all right, let's go. Kenny, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, give me a buzz in a minute.
Good job tonight. All right, pal?
Okay, pal. Thanks, man.
All right, man. I'll see you later.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Well, so long, loser. I'll see you next week.